Confessing the Truth.
Fighting the Good Fight.
Giving the smackdown to false teaching.
This is Steadfast Throwdown.
Welcome to Steadfast Throwdown. I'm Pastor Eric Anderson, joined by my co-host, Pastor Randy Asbury. And today we'll be throwing down against false teaching and, in our second segment, pornography. We are joined right now by Pastor Matt Richard, who serves at Zion Lutheran Church in Gwinner, North Dakota. He's written an article called Just Relax, A Little Liquid Drano Won't Hurt Anyone. You can find that on steadfastlutherans.org. Matt, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Eric. It's good to be here.
Now, liquid Drano is some pretty good stuff, Matt. I had a really bad clog in my sink here a couple of weeks ago, and it helped me get the jam right out. So I've had some good experience with this stuff lately. Why are you saying a little liquid Drano won't hurt anyone?
Well, just being a little bit, I don't know if you'd say sarcastic there, but just trying to grab the attention that, well, actually, frankly, if you look at it, that's kind of the mentality that many people have when it comes to false doctrine, I guess you would say. And so it is a little bit of a facetious title, I guess you would say. But at the same time, it is a philosophy, I guess you would say, or an ideology that many people do have. It's almost this mentality, you know, don't sweat the small stuff. A little bit of false teaching really won't hurt anyone. So it's kind of a play on that theme and that mentality that is often seen within the American church.
Okay, so if we're decoding the title of your article here, you're not really talking about Drano. You're really talking about false teaching.
Yeah, yeah. But it's, you know, part of it too is it grabs the attention and it makes a person say, well, this is absurd. I mean, a little liquid Drano does hurt. And so, you know, trying to draw the parallel that definitely a little liquid Drano does hurt. And that's the same thing with a little bit of
well,
false.
It was good for my sink, though, because it did clear it out. So I assume you mean in the right context, you know, or in the wrong context, maybe we would say liquid Drano would be a bad thing. There's maybe a good place for it and a bad place.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, we look at the bad place as far as drinking it. You know, it's not something that I'm going to put in my kid's bottle, you know, or going to cook with, you know. So it has its proper use. But yeah, in this context, a little liquid Drano, otherwise spoken, Drano that you would actually drink. You're not going to put it in a soft drink. You're not going to put it in your food. I mean, that's absurd.
Okay, so we shouldn't drink it, but there is a proper use for liquid Drano. Is there a proper place for false teaching?
I don't know how to say this nicely, but
can we cook it?
You know, if we want to go to hell, I mean, I guess that would be a sure way of making it happen is with false theology. False theology, it damns. It's, you know, basically a tool of the evil one, I guess you would say. And so, I mean, as far as the Christian wise, you know, for the Christian, no. I mean, it's false theology is damning. It hurts our theology. It hurts and damages faith.
All right. I want to argue with you a little bit on that point because Luther came out of a context of all sorts of false teaching. Walther came out of a pietistic background, Sasse. Some of these great Lutheran theologians have come out of these contexts where there's false teaching all around. And even you, Pastor Richard, have mentioned that you've had experience with this. And it actually was, well, it's been beneficial in some ways, hasn't it?
Yeah, I guess you could say that. What it does is it drives you, you know, the false theology, it drives you to ask the question, what do I believe and why? And it pushes you back to the scripture. So I guess in that sense, I guess I could agree that it is healthy, but I mean, it's not something that we obviously subject or consciously distribute. But, you know, when we find ourselves in those circumstances or struggling with, you know, just theology that doesn't make sense, it does serve in a way that it points us back to the clarity of the scriptures.
Okay, Matt, I have a question for you. What led you to write this article, and where did you get this analogy of liquid Drano?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, to be honest with you, when it came to writing this article, it was really kind of, I don't know what you would say, it was kind of, I was nudged along just from some conversations on Facebook and seeing individuals talking about the upcoming movie, the Son of God movie. Now, that movie, the Son of God movie that has just been released was basically, to my understanding, I haven't seen it yet, but to my understanding, it is kind of a outpouring of the miniseries that was done, the Bible miniseries. And, right. You know, with the Bible miniseries, you know, I wrote up a little bit of critique on that. And from that, you see, you know, I've been seeing online more and more people talking about the Son of God movie. But then there's this resistance as individuals would critique it or, you know, throw constructive criticism at the movie. There's this upspringing of individuals just saying, you know, that's not nice. You know, we're all Christians. We're on the same team. You know, we better not attack each other. We better not tear each other down. So it was from that context that I guess maybe I was a little bit agitated, so that's why I wrote this article.
Okay, and where did you get the analogy of liquid Drano here?
Well, it's not mine. Originally, it did not come from me. It was actually an experience that I had. Boy, this has been about close to 10 years ago, I would say. Oh, yeah, maybe a little bit less than that, 8 to 10 years ago. I took a bunch of youth to a conference, and the speaker was talking out of Galatians. And as he was talking out of Galatians, he was talking about the yeast that comes in the passage in Galatians. And so as he's talking about the gospel and how the gospel can be perverted by poison, he proceeded to cook a bunch of cookies for the kids. And so he's mixing together in this big bowl. He's mixing, you know, the flour and the chocolate chips and the eggs and everything else. And then it was really quite amazing. He did it real subtly. He said, okay, now this time on my special ingredient, he takes some Drano, a bottle of Drano, and puts a little bit, you know, in a little teaspoon and throws it in the mix.
This is literally what's going on in front of everybody's faces?
Yeah. He was leading this seminar for the youth, and so he's cooking, and as he's cooking, he's kind of teaching. But then he gets to this spot. He goes, now for my special ingredient, and he lowered his voice, a little liquid Drano, and he goes, oh, it's good stuff. And he did it really quick and really fast and really subtle. And I would say half the kids saw it. The other half, who weren't paying attention, they didn't see it. And then at the very end, then he took all the cookies that he had made and said, okay, now let's have some cookies. And half the kids went up there, were excited. And the other half were like, no way, we don't trust you. We don't want Drano. And thus he proved the point that a little liquid Drano is actually more dangerous than a whole gallon because it was subtle. So he subtly put the Drano in the mix, and he proved the point by showing that half the kids didn't see it.
Well, you know, I mean, when people cook with wine, it burns the alcohol off. I wonder maybe if you cook with Drano, that maybe it wouldn't be quite so dangerous anymore. Yeah.
That could be a next, you know, steadfast throwdown, cooking with Eric, you know, cook with Drano.
I'm not sure I want to eat out with him.
And then Randy, you can test the food and see what happens, you know?
Right.
All right, now I want to go back just kind of hold on a minute here. Now, your first point about critiquing the Bible and the Bible miniseries. Now, do you mean to criticize the Bible, or are you criticizing the movie? Does that just doesn't strike me as being a very nice thing to do?
Yeah, you know, here's the thing is it's, you know, I only watched one episode, I have to confess, the Bible miniseries. And I sat down, I watched about 10 to 15 minutes of it. And right away, as I was watching the narrative, I picked up on what you would call the word faith tenets or the beliefs of the word faith movement. Right away, I could pick up on it. And I did a little research and come to find out that some of the consultants for the Bible miniseries on, I think it was a History Channel or Discovery. It was History, I think.
History, yes.
Yeah. And so anyway, I found out that some of the consultants behind it were individuals like Joel Osteen, T.D. Jakes, and so forth. And so it really did conclude my suspicions. And so what I was picking up was on the hint of that theology embedded in the Bible miniseries. And so then, therefore, that's the reason why I wrote the article. And so my intention is not to critique the Bible per se, the written word of God. What it is to critique that little bit amount of Drano that is injected in it, that was injected in the actual miniseries TV show that came out. I guess maybe my taste buds were picking up on that foul taste in that miniseries, if we want to use that analogy.
Now, Joel Osteen and T.D. Jakes, we could add Rick Warren, any number of these guys into the mixer. I mean, they claim to be Christians. We should probably take them at their word. They do talk about the Bible and sometimes Jesus. They get the word out to a large audience. Wouldn't it be better to have a Christian presence than to not have this?
Well, and that's kind of the key of my article. part of me growing up, you know, I kind of had that perception. And in fact, you know, my article actually I talk about when I was in seminary, one of my profs actually proceeded to criticize the book. It was either Purpose Driven Life or Purpose Driven Church by Rick Warren. And so as I was listening to that, I was deeply offended and very upset. And I thought, why criticize a guy in our own camp? I mean, at least he's trying to get the word out. And what I didn't realize is this is what actually came out from Luther in his book called The Bondage of the Will. What he actually points to is actually a little bit of heresy is actually worse than blatant heresy. They're obviously both very detrimental. But the subtle heresy is very damaging because it's subtle and people don't pick up on it. And so what my old professor, back to my previous story with my professor, what he was doing is he was attempting to love me and care for me and his students by pointing out that small, subtle draino that was present in this book. And what all I could see was that, hey, this guy, you know, is just anti-everything. So it's this subtlety that he was picking up. And that's, of course, what I was doing with my article on the mini-series, the Bible mini-series, was picking up on the subtle draino that was mixed in it that the average person probably may not be able to pick up on.
Okay, Matt, just a minute left before we go to our break. What do you say to those who will cry out, wait, where's your Christian love? Can't you just love everyone?
Yeah, and I would say that this was by far the most loving thing that my former professor did for me. He cared enough to actually point out the draino, even though he knew that it was going to get him the stigma as being one who was unloving. In other words, if you look to that illustration of the cookies and the draino, if you have somebody who is eating a cookie with draino, you're going to come up and you're going to shake them. You say, don't eat that cookie. It has draino in it. And so when we look at it from that perspective, it's the most loving thing you can do because you don't want them to ingest this poison.
We're talking with Pastor Matt Richard about his article, Just Relax, A Little Liquid Draino Won't Hurt Anyone. We'll be back in a minute.
Are you looking for a way to dive deeper into the lectionary? Have you been craving a more in-depth look at the scriptures you'll hear in church on Sunday? Join us for Lamplight Conversations as we dive into the lectionary. Hear pastors from across the globe discuss and converse about the beauty and consistency of the scriptures and the glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen to Lamplight Conversations on demand or listen live at www.kangian.org. Lamplight Conversations, shining the light of the Lord in the darkness of this world.
Do you have a question for us at Steadfast Throwdown? How about an idea for a show topic? We'd love to hear from you, and we just might be able to use your questions or topic ideas on the show. Email us at throwdown@steadfastlutherans.org or visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/steadfastthrowdown.
Hi, this is Pastor Brian Katchelmeyer, host of the Redeemer Theological Academy. Now, the goal of the Academy is to enable the saints to confess the Christian faith handed down to us from the apostles. Now, it's the Apostle Peter who teaches us in his first letter, chapter 3, saying, "In your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you." In this age of competing religions and vast numbers of enthusiastic spirituality, the priesthood that baptized should stand ready to confess the apostolic faith in the midst of an unbelieving world. I invite you to go to our website at www.redeemertheologicalacademy.org, where you'll find lectures designed to help you articulate what you believe and why you believe it.
Welcome back to Steadfast Throwdown. I am Pastor Randy Asbury, joined by my co-host, Pastor Eric Anderson. Our guest is Pastor Matt Richard. He's pastor at Zion Lutheran Church in Gwinner, North Dakota. He has written an article over at steadfastlutherans.org. The title of that article, Just Relax, A Little Liquid Drano Won't Hurt Anyone.
Oh, Matt, I'd like to pick up with something we began talking about just in the other segment. You say that it can be loving to warn about error. And, you know, the funny thing about it is it doesn't always come off as loving. Now, I used to myself be involved in sort of more contemporary kinds of worship, more evangelical approach to things. When I began exploring sort of the liturgy and traditional theology, traditional liturgy, I found that a number of the people that I came across, those who were advocating for these things, came off to me as being cold, unloving sort of jerks. And you mentioned in your article, and even before, how you initially reacted sort of that way to your professor. But now it sounds like you found yourself in his shoes and the tables have kind of been turned a little bit. Could you tell us something about that?
Yeah. What goes around comes around, right?
We know this.
Oh, man. Yeah, you know, the thing is, I can recall just like yesterday, this is a real vivid time because, I mean, it was kind of the first time that it really happened to me when my professor was criticizing another, you know, Christian from my perspective there. And I thought he was rude. I thought he was insincere. He was definitely unecumenical to criticize somebody else in this Christian sphere. You know, I mean, my thought was that we're on the same team. But then as time has gone on, you know, I've come to see that not only was my professor loving me, but he was also being biblically sound. I mean, if you think about this theme, you know, as we look to the pastoral epistles of Paul's letter to Timothy and Titus, it's over and over and over where Paul says, watch the sound doctrine, watch the sound doctrine. And so in other words, with my professor, you know, it was good that he was watching the sound doctrine for my sake. He cared for me and loved me enough to speak out on this false doctrine, which was like that liquid drain. It was just that teaspoon that was sprinkled in that greater theology that I was ingesting myself. And so, you know, he cared enough for me that he wanted to point out the poison that I was taking into myself. And, you know, what I've come to see, you know, on the other side, I guess you would say, as I've come to see myself in that situation with others, man, I can resonate. I know my heart aches and it hurts. And it's like, man, I don't want to blow up this person's worldview or to make them uncomfortable, but I'm compelled to say something that, you know, my friends, there's some poison that's mixed in this. There's some Drano that can harm you, that can be detrimental to your faith, that destroys faith, that destroys assurance in Christ. And so I'm compelled, you know, as a pastor to say it, and but, you know, like I've shared before, to try to say it as gently as possible. So yeah, it has been quite interesting to see the reversal of the roles, I guess you would say.
Okay, Matt, this is a very intriguing story that you were concerned about your professor being unloving, that you were concerned about him being not ecumenical and all of that good stuff. What is really at stake here, though, if we allow the liquid Drano to stay in the batch of cookies, so to speak, you know, metaphorically speaking? I mean, we're really talking about God's teaching, aren't we?
Yeah. And, you know, to borrow an illustration from Dr. Robert Kolb, he has in his book called The Christian Faith, and I need to probably do a write-up on this, but explain a little bit more on what Kolb has to say. But Kolb brings up this excellent illustration of the human body, and he talks about the body of our doctrine that we have. And he says, you know, imagine that the head is the doctrine of Christ, and then the heart is the doctrine of justification. And then so you have your head and your heart, I mean, which are really important as a, you know, physically to live. You know, without our head, we can't live. Without our heart beating and pulsating blood through our body, we don't exist. And then Kolb goes on to say that you know, consider the other parts of our body, like our arm. Maybe our arm represents the doctrine of baptism, and our other arm represents maybe the ecclesiology of the church. And let's just say a leg represents our eschatology, the doctrine of end times. And this is what he points out, which is so incredibly important. He says, you know, that without the head, obviously, Christ, we don't exist, we don't make it. Without justification, we don't make it. And so his point is, you know, to say that somebody maybe has incorrect doctrine would be like saying that they have a gash in their arm. So let's just say somebody has a false view of baptism. Well, they have an infection in their arm. We obviously wouldn't say that they're not a Christian, because they do have Christ as the head, and their heart is hopefully beating with this doctrine of justification. So why should we be concerned about the arm? Well, obviously because that can get infected and it can spread to the heart. Or why be concerned with maybe somebody's eschatology, their view of the end times, maybe their leg? Well, a faulty view of the end times can actually create a bum leg, and a person can trip and fall and hit their head, which is Christ. And so Kolb's illustration is really, I think, just a very, very compassionate way of looking at caring for our brothers and sisters, and especially those within our parishes, of having sound doctrine, because we ultimately don't want the heart to get infected or the head to get hit and lose it all. Hopefully that makes sense.
So what you're really saying is sometimes it is very loving to say you are wrong, or sometimes it's very loving to say you are sick and you need some help.
Yeah, and I would say that is extremely loving, because, you know, for one, I mean, to say that is pointing out an error, you know. The second, to say that, you know, generally speaking, in our culture in this day and age, this culture of tolerance and getting along and, you know, all that, I don't know what you call the fluff, I guess you would say. If a pastor or person says that, not only are they loving you by being honest about a possible false theology, but they're also saying it knowing that they're probably going to get a stigma back. They're going to be attacked back or criticized or labeled with an ad hominem attack of being unloving. So yeah, it's one of the, I think in our day and age right now where we're at, is one of the greatest acts of love is to pull a brother aside or a sister, put your arm around them, and to be compassionate and point out the poison.
What was it that, well, got you to change your attitude and approach to this? If you used to kind of have a why sweat the small stuff view, what was it that made you realize that maybe that wasn't the most helpful or loving thing to do?
Well, I don't want to switch to a completely different analogy, but this is how I've explained it before. For me, it was, you know, I embraced the church growth movement. I embraced the emergent church. I embraced revivalism. I embraced dispensationalism, the Left Behind books. I embraced all these isms. And for me, what had happened, now obviously my story is going to be different than many others, but I had all these isms. And if you think about your house of theology, I invited them all in. So I gave them each a room. And so, you know, I had all these conflicting theologies that were all living in my house. Well, what happened is they all started to fight. They just couldn't get along. They weren't consistent with each other. And so as long as I could keep them in their rooms, it was okay. But when these different isms, they all came out, they fought, and the whole house of theology for me just came collapsing down. In other words, you know, maybe back to our illustration of Drano, I was drinking Drano, liquid Drano, and I was probably drinking Windex, and I was drinking Windex and Drano, and I was also drinking some V8 juice, which was healthy, and then I was drinking gasoline, and what it did is it made me sick, and it collapsed my theology in on of itself. And so what I like to say is that in the rubble of my failing theology, where it just didn't work theologically and functionally, in the midst of that rubble, it was the theology of the cross that burst forth in my failures as a pastor and as a Christian, this crystal clear theology of the cross that burst in. And it was that started pulling me out of the rubble of my sin. Not that improving me by any means, but just by declaring into my sin Christ and Him crucified.
Now, Matt, in your article, you say, "I believe that what we need most in the church today is more anti-chocolate chip cookie grouches."
Yeah.
Can you explain that for us a little bit?
Well, you know, the reality is when it comes to it, I mean, we have to keep in mind that the tactics of the evil one is we look, you know, in scriptures, it says that the devil himself, he disguises himself as an angel of light. We also see in Luke chapter 4 and Genesis 3 that it's the devil's scheme not to entirely eliminate scripture, but to twist it ever so slightly. And so what we see is that this little bit of this false truth really shifts, you know, everything. And so what we need is we have this melting pot of spirituality in America right now. And what is such a challenge is that so many different pastors and teachers are using Christian lingo, Christian words, but it's off ever so slightly. It's that one degree. And it's that shift just ever so slightly. And that shift can have dramatic consequences. You know, permit me to share another illustration here. If you think about railroad tracks, you can, you know, if you want to derail a train, you can remove the track, which is pretty obvious. Or you can actually take that railroad track and just move one of them by one degree. So then, you know, 18 miles down the track, it will derail in another city. And to be honest with you, that is the much more devious and clever way of doing it. And that's the way the evil one works. That's the way that our old Adam, our sinful nature works. And so what we need is we need individuals to pick up on that 1%, to call that out, to do it gracefully and with integrity and compassion, because that is some of the things that will have always been going on in the church. But I think right here and right now, we need those individuals to point out the drainal more than ever before.
We've been talking with Pastor Matt Richard from Zion Lutheran Church in Gwinner, North Dakota, about his article, Just Relax, a Little Liquid Drano Won't Hurt Anyone. It is very loving to call someone out on their false teaching because, hey, the gospel of Jesus Christ is at stake. I'm Randy Asbury, and for Eric Anderson, we'll be right back here on Steadfast Throwdown.